I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 119. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture. And it's something that, it's a little bit different. I'll just say this sermon's a little bit different today. But I want us to think about something. In Psalm 119, verse 11, we have one of the most memorized portions of Scripture in the Bible. Other than John 3:16, this one's right up there with it. And it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Before we get started, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time and an opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for your word and what you have preserved for us and what you've done for us. This morning, Lord, I pray that as we consider and contemplate what you have written to us, that our hearts would be very receptive to your Holy Spirit. We would not push, we would not kick, but Lord, we would be yielded to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would just work in our hearts, that, Lord, we know that you just want us to be the Christians you desire us to be. And Lord, I pray that that would be our same desire, that that would be our will, would be yours in this matter. And Lord, again, I just thank you for those that are here. Thank you for the Delbridges being here. And I just pray that you bring blessings upon them as they sing praises to you and praises to your name. And that everything that we say and do this day would be pleasing and honoring unto you. And I ask and I pray all of this in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this verse has some very interesting things. We'll get to this in just a little bit, but I kind of want to use this a little bit as a launching point. And it's very, very interesting that they're singing a song about reaping and sowing. And the illustration that I want to kind of open with is this. If you are to take $20 every single week, $20 every single week. So let's say you forgo your BlackRock coffee or Starbucks or Dutch Brothers or whatever treat that you have, and you save $20 a month and you stick it in a sock and put it under your bed or put it in a safe or put it wherever you do. And you were to take that $20 every week, at the end of 10 years, you will have $10,400 saved. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. How many of us could use $10,000 right now? How many of us want $10,000 right now? But you understand that there is a principle that is applied there that whatever you are going to put away, you are going to get a return on. You put that out there and you save it, you're going to get it. You're going to have something for that. And I'll get back to this in just a thought, or this thought in just a minute, but I want us to think about this when it comes to hiding things. The title of the sermon is very simple, hid. One word, H-I-D, hid. Because when we often think of this word hid, which shows up in here, it says right there, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We think of hiding in very different context. We think of it in a very different way. When we think of this word hid, we often think of it as a reactionary thing. You go over to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 10, we see a reaction. In verse 9, it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam and Eve are hiding themselves in a reaction to conviction and shame. And often that is the case. You will see individuals, they will flee because of that. Because of what they have done, because of consequences that they're about to face, we think of the word hid as a reaction to that. We think of the word hid as related to sinful behavior. If you go over to 2 Corinthians, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hopefully you did bring your Bible this morning. We're going to be turning to several passages. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1 it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So one thing we see there very clearly is he's talking about the hidden things of dishonesty. We think about hiding things in a dishonest nature. It's always very apprehensive when you're buying a used car because you don't know what is being hid. Used car salesmen have reputations for being somewhat deceitful and hiding things. Not everyone is like that nowadays, and I understand there's a lot of things that have been changed, but there is some sort of, if you will, predetermined thought process of when you think of used car salesmen, you think of them as just maybe a little bit more honest than a politician. You ask a politician and you say, "Is that politician honest?" And you're like, I don't know. Not all politicians are dishonest, but when we think of that, there's this connotation that comes up in relationship to that word, hid. Hiding. Something that is related to a sinful behavior. When we think about something that is hidden, we often think about something that is kept out of sight. As kids, you probably played hide and go seek, right? That was something that we would play as children, and we'd play and we'd try to hide and do the best we could. You know, nowadays we get a little bit more grown up. We call it paintball or something like that. Or we call it hunting. Whatever it is, we play hide and go seek. But it's to keep from sight. A mystery. If you go over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 7, he says very clearly, he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." He talks about God hiding something, something that's hidden. It's something that is kept from us. Now, this is obviously in no way sinful in any way, shape, or form. And I'm using this to kind of show and differentiate that the word hid can be used in multiple different ways. If a person was to sit down and just begin to read the Word of God, they would begin to realize that words have different meanings in different contexts. Different things. You cannot apply one thing to all. If we were to apply hid in a sinful sense in every single way, we would have a problem with the way that we would look at God. So we can't apply that. We can't look at hid as something that is deceitful in its form, but it can be used in deceit. It can be used in conviction and shame. It can be used in sinful behavior. But on the other hand, we see God here hiding something from us. Has God ever hid anything from you? Have you always been aware of God's exact plan for you in every single thing that you do? You realize there's a reason why he doesn't do that? Give you everything? As I've said before, you know, he never told Job why he went through what he went through. We have no record of God ever telling Job that this is why you went through that. There's no record of it. Kind of a bit of a bunny trail, but think about this for a second. You know, there's a lot of things that God called a mystery in the Bible. He didn't reveal to people. The church was a mystery. There's a mystery he talks about here, this hidden wisdom that he's talking about, these things that he doesn't bring to everybody's light that they don't get to see right away. How many of us like a good mystery? You know, you like either a good book or something that really has a good mystery involved around it. You look at it and you're suspenseful about it and you want to know and things of that nature. And then sometimes you cheat and you go to the back. And you ruin your mystery. Are you ruining the suspense? You know, God has that there for a reason. You know why he does that? You know why he hides things from you? To build your faith. He doesn't tell you everything because he wants you to trust him. He wants to build faith in you. Remember when the disciples said, increase our faith? We as Christians have often thought that in our own lives. Lord, I wish I had more faith. And then we get upset with God when he doesn't tell us everything. I'm doing exactly what you asked, he tells us. You asked for more faith. I'm trying to show it to you. We don't always get the privilege of seeing everything in that light. He hides things from us. It produces more faith. It brings about more faith. Go to Psalm chapter 31. I'll show you a couple of things in regards to that about this hid. Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter 31, and in verse 19, it says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." See how he's using something there very specifically? Psalm 31 verses 19 through 20, he shows that he's hiding something. And he's hiding it from the sinful influence that's out there. So sometimes God wants you to truly set aside those things in your life so that you can reveal them, or so that he can reveal them to you. To increase your faith, to increase your desire for him, to increase your trust and in what he does and what he has done for you. This is what God does. He does these things and to hide in that way. Go over to Luke chapter 18 very quickly. Luke chapter 18, a little bit of a bunny trail here. Sorry about that, but it's something that is important when we start talking about things that are hidden. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 31, it says, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them," so now we know he's talking about the disciples here, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." He's talking about his death. "And now look at the denseness of the 12. And they understood not of these things, none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." You know what he was doing? He was building their faith. He was increasing their faith. Now, what was revealed later on when they saw what happened and all those things came to light that he had taught them, that he had showed them, that he had revealed to them, now it was coming to a point of where they were beginning to understand, and it was beginning to really make sense to them. So God will hide things from you, but he's not doing that in such a way to be deceitful. He's doing it in a way so that you will search him out. To grow that faith in you. We think about hid and we think about those things that are in life. How about just preserving the life? Go over to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I apologize. Proverbs chapter 28. Sorry. Proverbs chapter 28. In verse 12 it says, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is what? Hidden. A man is hidden. There was a lot of people when we had our previous president in office that were talking about hiding. That were talking about things of that nature. That were talking about maybe we should go live in the woods and get off the grid and get rid of our cell phones and get rid of this and get rid of that and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We need to hide ourselves from the coming evil, the coming wickedness. We don't hear much of that today. It's a different man in office. But what we do understand is that when somebody comes to power, when there's a wicked person there, a lot of people start thinking about hiding themselves, preserving their life, preserving their life. What did Elijah do when Jezebel wrote him a letter? He went and hid. He took off running. The greatest victory that has ever been seen against the prophet of Baal, and somebody sends him just a small little memo saying he was going to kill him, and he freaks out and he runs. He hides. So we know that it's used to preserve life in such a way when somebody is in fear. And when we begin to think about this, if you will, this conceptualization of that word, we begin to realize that God's word is very different than the way we speak and the way we are taught to think today. When we begin thinking about these things that are there, that are in our world, this word that is out there, we realize that the way that we're taught keeps us from understanding the Word of God the way it was meant to be. Because when we think about what is hid and what is to be hidden, again, we often think of it in a very kind of negative context. We don't think of it in the right way. We don't think of it in a way that we should think. We think about hiding things that are important to us. We think about hiding our lives. We think about people hiding themselves from shame and from punishment and being fugitives and things of that nature. But the word hid has so much more to it. And what that has is this context, this definition, that to hide something is to protect and to keep safe. To protect and to keep safe. Now I want you to think about this for a second. When God says this word hid, and we begin to think about what God has done for us, there should be some verses that come to mind. I want you to go over to Psalm chapter 143. Psalm 143, I want you to see something here. Psalm chapter 143. Psalm 143, and in verse 9, the psalmist writes this, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. David is talking about fleeing to God to be hidden in him. Now, what does it say over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3? Let's turn there. Colossians 3, verse 3. Keeping in mind what David has just written there, that we as Christians need to understand this great, very important principle. You know, a lot of people will talk about verses that are important and verses that are out there regarding the security of the believer, the eternal security that we have, that once we trust Christ as our Savior, we can never lose it. I stand on that. One of the things that I struggled with as a youth was eternal security. I struggled with it. My parents helped me, but they showed me certain things. They tried to explain it to me, but I struggled with it and I struggled with it. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit began to show me from His Word exactly what God had done in my life when I trusted Him as my Savior that I began to understand that regardless of what happens in this world, I can never be separated from Him any longer. Now, I may distance myself because of sin, but I know this, Christ is right there. I know that. I am not losing my salvation. I don't become unsaved. I don't have to get saved again. I don't have to plead God for salvation again. Sin can cause a break in the relationship, if you will, a breach, a problem, just like you have a marriage problem and something comes up. You don't just become unmarried because you have one fight. You come together, you reconcile. Here he makes it very clear in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 3, one of the favorite passages of the scripture that I use, and anybody says they have questions about eternal security, it says, "For ye are dead in Christ and your life is hid with Christ in God." You know what? That is a hidden life. Does that mean that I am hidden from the world? That I am hidden from everyone else knowing that I'm a Christian? That I'm hidden in such a way that nobody knows that I am a Christian? That I'm trusting Christ as my Savior? That if somebody was to come and ask me and talk to me about Jesus Christ, I would not have any type of ability to witness or anything of that nature? No, it's not like that. When I am hid in Christ, you know what that means? That means He is preserving me, He is protecting me, and He is keeping me in safety. Now let me ask you this. Who is going to storm the citadel of God and take me from Him? Good luck with that. I don't believe in luck, but you'll need luck on that. Because there's no way you're going to have that happen. Who is going to pluck us out of God's hand? Who is going to take us away from the love of God? Romans chapter 8 makes that very clear. We as Christians, we're hid in Him. He is protecting us. He is hiding us. He is, our lives are hid in Him. Not hidden from view, but protected, kept safe. You know, David goes over there and in Psalms over and over and over again talks about his hiding place being God. Now, David knew a thing or two about hiding, didn't he? And he was hunted a few times. Saul was out to kill him. Others were out to kill him. People were trying to take the throne and the kingdom from him. People were trying to destroy him. Satan wanted him dead. And he knew where to flee to refuge. He knew where the hiding was going to be, and that was going to be in his God. The same God that saved us. The same God that died upon the cross for us. The same Jesus Christ that gives us that eternal life, that is our hope that we trust in. There's security there. There's a security there that we can never, ever forget. We're hidden Him. And this is where I get to the major point of the sermon. You're like, what was all that about? I want you to see something. I want you to go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 4, there's a phrase that's used there, and it's talking about women specifically, but there is there's part of this verse, this phrase, that is applicable to every Christian. I want you to see this in verse 4. And it talks about in verse 3, talking about whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. He's talking about an outward show of something demonstrating self rather than this in verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. He talks about something there. He says, hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. Now we saw Jesus Christ set an example for us. We know that the way that we live, it should be mirroring Christ, right? Our greatest example is Jesus Christ. And as such, He hides us in Him. The question is do we hide Jesus Christ in us? Is He the hidden man of our heart? Now this isn't in such a way that He's hidden that I don't ever let anybody know about Jesus Christ. And nobody's gonna know exactly that I trust Him as my Savior. And I'm gonna hide Him and I'm never gonna act like it. No, that's not what we're talking about. Do we preserve? Do we protect? Do we keep in safety those things that Christ has done for us, that He has given to us, in the way that we would hide a treasure? You know, you run into a lot of people that sit there and they start drooling when they start thinking about the lotteries. And they get up there towards the $500 million mark and people are like, oh, that's a half a billion dollars. Oh, what do we do with a half a billion dollars? You'd go bankrupt. That's what you would do. You would spend it on worthless, unnecessary things. Let's just be honest with ourselves. And that's why God doesn't give us the lottery. Because He knows what's better for us. That will never buy happiness. It will never give us a joy or anything of that nature. You're like, well, it might help a little bit. Then you don't have the right kind of heart. Because money will never buy you joy. Joy only comes by the Spirit of God. His Holy Spirit. We need to realize that. We need to understand that. And here He's talking to women and He's talking about the hidden man of the heart. He's saying, look, I don't want them going around showing off themselves and saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, He wants to reveal the one that is hiding in you, the one that is in you. You are the one to reveal Christ in you. That one that is hidden there. The one that you protect. The one that you keep that relationship close with. And therein lies the issue, is how much are we willing to protect that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ? To keep it safe. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? The devil is your enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the enemies. He talks about principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about these things that want to destroy you. This morning we talked about unreasonable and wicked men over in 2 Thessalonians, but very clearly, you know what? The main enemy is Satan. Now I understand your flesh is right there and your own will is right there. Whether you call it your sin nature or whether you call it your own will or whatever you call it, there is that problem that you happen to have that you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it and nobody else is going to tell you otherwise. You know what we call that? Your will. That's why your will has to be set aside and you have to yield and submit and be in subjection to the holy will of God. That's how that works. But when we begin to think about what we as a Christian have, Satan doesn't want that out. How well are we protecting that relationship? How well are we hiding that relationship in such a way that it is secure? If we won that lottery and we had that $500 million and we knew and they gave it to us in cash, not in a check, you walked up and you turned in your ticket and they took your picture and you smiled and you're going to be all over and all your unknown relatives are going to come out and ask you for a loan and I swear I'll pay you back, liar. All that's going to come out. They say, okay, here you go. You're waiting for your check or direct deposit. And they go, no, it doesn't work that way anymore. Here's the hard cold cash. And they start handing you briefcases. Wouldn't you be a little nervous walking into the parking lot? That drive home, wouldn't you be a little bit more aware of who's following you? Would you even stop home first? Or would you just go straight to the bank? You would want to hide that. You would want to make sure that it was protected. The same thing is true about that hidden man of the heart. How much are we wanting to protect that relationship? What is going to come between us in the relationship that we have with Christ? How much are we hiding it? Go over again to Psalm 119. And look at the verse that we began with. Verse 11. And it says this. Thy word. Now whose word is that? That's God's word. That's the word of the Lord. That is the word of the Lord. Who is called the word of God? Jesus Christ, is he not? Amen. And you, what he expects you to do? Hide him in your heart, that hidden man. Thy word hath I hid in my heart. The hidden man of the heart. David knew that. David knew that he had to protect that relationship. And this is what it comes down to when we begin thinking about what God has done in our lives, what God has done for us, when we think about all of these powerful things that God has demonstrated to us in our life, the power of God unto salvation. We see all of these amazing things that God continues to do for us. And the question is are we hiding those things in our heart? Are we hiding the word of God in our heart? We teach it to small children. We teach them that verse and we teach them it's about memorization. You know what, folks? It is more than memorization. I have memorized a lot of useless facts. I have a lot of useless formulas. I mean, honestly, what good is the formula for knowing about how much C4 explosives to put on a pillar to blow a bridge up? What good does that do me? But I know that formula. In case what? I don't know. I just know it. Really, honestly, who cares? You shouldn't care. I can memorize it, but I'm not using it. Thank God. Otherwise, Scott would have a few issues with me. But you understand, I'm not using those things. I don't do that. But if I have the Word of God hidden, it is more than the memorization. We talk about memorization as being important, but memorization is more than just remembering the words. Memorization is taking those words and applying them to your life and looking at how are they going to protect that relationship that I have with Christ. What am I going to do that is going to hide that in my heart, that I will not sin against Him, that I will not violate that relationship, that I will not destroy the things that God has given to me, these things that are precious to me? You realize you hide things that are precious to you? They're of value to you? How many of you guys have ever done that where you grew up in your house and you had all these things that were important to you as a child? You go out and you go live your life, and then finally your parents call up and say, get your stuff out of my house. It's only been 40 years. You go over there, you begin pulling all the stuff out, and then you find your secret treasure box. The things that were valuable to you at one point in time, and you go, oh, what is in there? What is in there that could possibly be worth something? I wonder if maybe I had accidentally put in there grandma's $100 bill that she had sent me that I never spent. And you like start, oh, salivating about what hidden treasures might be in there. And you open it up and there's a little stupid plastic spider. You're like, really? You open it up and there's something in there about a note that somebody wrote to you that might have liked you, and you kept it and you treasured it, and you're like, oh, that was stupid. Things that didn't mean, things that you look at and you just go, man, that's just dumb. Why did I, you know what, it had value to you at the time. You know, the world does not value a relationship with Jesus Christ because they don't understand it. That's why it's important to communicate to them and show that relationship you have with Jesus Christ and demonstrate it to them. But you, above all, should make sure that you protect it. Why? Because it's valuable to you. It's precious. You have a safety deposit box to make sure that you keep things that are important in there. You have safes to make sure that you keep things that are important to you from fire, from flood, from theft, from things that could possibly destroy it in any way, shape, or form. The same thing is true. And when we look at this verse, thy word have I hid in my heart, the same principle is there. Do we take those things that are important to us, and do we hide them? Do we preserve them? Do we protect them so that we can make sure that we have a secure relationship with our Almighty God and Savior Jesus Christ? Do we have something that we can clearly say, look, I am hiding this in my life because I need to have that relationship? People lose things all the time. People misplace things all the time. You know, we always talk about the things that show up later on. You put it away for a safekeeping. Did that the other day. Very specifically, one of the Volvo's backlights, taillights had blown. They come in two packs. I only replaced one. Yeah, I know you're supposed to replace two, but you know what? I'm cheap. So I replaced the one, and I put the other one away, and I'm like, I need to put this somewhere where I'll remember where it is. Tore apart the garage, tore apart everything. I told my wife, I said, where did I put this? Where is this? And she's like, well, I'm pretty sure we put it somewhere and put it here, put it there. And I look, and I'm like, I don't know where it is. And I'm getting frustrated. And then finally one day I'm looking for something else and I open it up and guess what it is? I had taken the bulb and I had put it in a little plastic bin and I had put the lid on the bin and it was right there by the fridge in the kitchen. Hidden. Very well hidden. But when we think about what God has given to us, we don't want to have that type of hiding place. Where we don't know where it is. Where we're hiding it from use. Where we're hiding it where it'll never, ever be used for that relationship with Christ. The illustration that I opened with about $20 saved every week for 10 years is $10,400 at the end of it. You think about that principle that's there. You're taking and you're hiding something. Something that is going to be something someday. You know, if you never put anything away, you will have nothing. If you never save $20 a week, at the end of 10 years, you know what you'll have? Nothing. If you don't save $1 every year, at the end of 10 years, what are you going to have? You still have nothing. You'll still have nothing. And this is what God is using as a principle to say, look, this is the stuff that you lay away. This is the stuff that you preserve. This is the stuff that you save. This is the stuff that you hide away so that when you sow that, you'll reap it later. You know, that relationship with that hidden man of the heart is obviously supposed to be revealed. Paul talks about hiding the gospel and hiding it from the lost, and we shouldn't do that. But as a Christian, I will say this in talking about hiding something. This verse, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. As simple as a verse as it may be, is one of great power because it clearly demonstrates to us why we need to take those things and preserve them in our life. To hide them. As I said, we hide things that are of value. That are precious to us. That have a deep meaning to us. The things that are contained in this book should be precious to you. Should have deep meaning for you as a Christian. And should have value. Not in a dollar way, but in a way that keeps that relationship where it needs to be. Hid. Do we protect it? Do we protect it from the attacks of Satan? Do we protect it from the wiles of the devil? Do we protect it from the false doctrine of men? Do we protect it from the things of this world? Do we protect it sometimes from our own flesh? Do we keep it in safety? This morning I would say this. Hiding the Word of God in your heart is more than just memorizing it. You protect it. You hide it. You treasure it. You treasure it in your life. If I was to tell you that over in Abram's Park there was $1 million hidden in a coffee can in the ground, I guarantee you everybody would be down there in 2 seconds digging up the yard, looking for the $1 million. And I'll tell you this, Satan is just exactly the same thing. He wants to take it from you. He wants to strip it from you. He wants to make you miserable. He wants to make you frustrated. He wants to make you discouraged. He wants to make sure that you have nothing in your life. Because he hates you. And he's willing to dig up your heart to get it. Are you hiding the Word of God? Are you protecting it? Are you making sure nothing's coming between that relationship between you and Jesus Christ today? Don't let it happen, folks. Don't let it happen. Hide it. Protect it. Preserve it. Because the God that loved you gave you one of the most tremendous gifts of eternal life that no one can ever take away from you. Because he's hid it in himself. If he's willing to hide that part of the relationship, we should be willing to hide our part. To protect it and to preserve it. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for your word, and I just thank you for the simple message that was given here today. And that, Lord, we would think upon these things and think about our relationship with you and how we are protecting it and how we are keeping it safe and how we are desiring, Lord, to make sure that it still remains in our life. And Lord, again, I just thank you for keeping my eternal life with you, that my life would be hid with you, that I'm not responsible for that, Lord, but I am responsible for keeping that relationship going with you. And Lord, I pray that you would work in my life and the life of everyone here, that we would hide your word in our hearts, that Lord, nothing would come between our relationship. Nothing would come between me and you. And Lord, again, I just thank you for those that are here. And I pray that you'd continue to meet with us as we close with a hymn and as we ponder your word. And I ask and I pray this in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.